If you have your Bibles, would like to read with us this morning the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. This is a tremendous passage of Scripture. I've never been much at trying to title messages before we preach. We are very dependent upon God and Him sending His power and His Spirit to help us. Without Him, we can do nothing. But I would like for you to have this thought upon your mind, if you can, throughout the service: the power that is in the blood of the Lamb. The power that is in the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we'll start reading in the first verse. If it is that you can rest from your seat, it would be good. If you can't, God knows and He understands. But in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in the first verse, the Bible says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You may be seated. It's a tremendous passage of Scripture that we've read this morning in your hearing, and I'm grateful and thankful that God is abundantly able to speak to us through this, though it may have been written not just hundreds, but even thousands of years ago, before this was ever penned down, if you will, written in the eternal ages of God's mind, but yet conscience of our very moment and our very hour to where we live now. I've had another scripture come to my mind where I was just reading. Maybe it'll come back to us again later on. I'm not sure. That'll be up to the Lord. We'll definitely look it up. But as we think about this here this morning, I do covet earnestly your prayers. We desperately need the help of God. Now, as we look at this, what caught our attention here as we were trying to study for this was this word worshipers. It caught our eye, and as we began to look at this again, and Lord knows we've been here before, but I'm grateful and thankful that the Word of God can always be made new. But if you think about this, this law, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. Now, that's a very quick, brief description of what the law was. Let's stop for just a second and let's think about this law. Now, in Abraham's day and in Noah's day and in Adam's day and Jacob's day, there wasn't the law of God. The law did not enter until Moses and the children of Israel when they had come out of the land of Egypt. But now, these others were moved by faith and God was pleased by them. But now, when the law entered in, God had a people that had been delivered by the word of God out of the land of Egypt. And now here is what is known to the world as the people of God. Now, understand that the world knew and heard about all the plagues in Egypt. It didn't happen in a corner. Friend, Egypt was a very prominent country, if you will, a formidable force in their day. But one man and a servant, armed with the word of God, went down there and freed over 1 million people. This doesn't get done in a corner and just happen. So now we have what the world is seeing. Why, that's the people of God. And now God, my friend, has brought them out of bondage. And now God, with his own hand, writes in a stone the laws that they are to obey. And God institutes a tabernacle, and my friend, in the heart of Moses, of how to build it and how to worship and how to sacrifice. God is setting this in stone. It must happen. Now these people, friend, whenever they obeyed God, whenever they lived according to the law of God, there wasn't a force in this world that could stand against them. When they lived in obedience to the law, and my friend, and they carried the Ark of the Covenant before their enemies, I tell you, they trembled and shook. Remember when Joshua crossed Jordan and all the people heard, and even the testimony of Rahab the harlot, while every man's heart was faint because here comes the children of God. And friend, let me tell you something. The law of God, even the New Testament teaches us that it's holy. You and I, many of us were raised when you seen this Bible sitting on a table. It deserves more reference than any other book that's in the house. Because why, preacher? Because it is the Bible. It is the Word of God. So now this being is so established, my friend, and this was tables written in stone by the hand of God. Well, preacher, Moses broke them and he had to rewrite them. No, you didn't read the story right. He broke them and he had to hew out two more tables and then God wrote on them again. But it had been written by the finger of God. Can you imagine? Even our natural eyes beholding such a thing. It goes further. Just stay with us. Understand, my friend, that this law and these people worship God through and by. But it could never make them perfect. And our God requires, demands perfection. Well, preacher, there's nobody perfect. Understand something. We have a treasure in an earthen vessel. And there's no way that my flesh could ever begin to please God. I don't care if I lived in a hole, never touched the sinful society that I'm born in. My friend, my flesh was still conceived in sin. It was still shaping in iniquity. I had an innate ability to sin and trespass God's laws. There's none of you had to be taught how to steal. There's none of you had to be taught how to lie. None of us had to be taught or instructed on how to deceive our neighbor. It is built into us because of sin. Lots of people don't like to come to that, but that's a reality truth that really it would help you if you did. Understand, my friend, that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. But the work of God, and we need to get there shortly, the work of God in the soul of man is a work of perfection. It is a complete work finished, my friend, from the foundation of the world. Listen to the Bible. Let me read you just a little passage here in Peter. He says, Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bethany, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, listen to this, and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. This is one of the 12 disciples. And my friend, who is, if you will, the spokesman for them? And this man's writing a letter to the church. And listen to how he addressed, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Well, preacher, that's just self-righteous. No, 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 no. Thank God that he would extend to us mercy. Thank God that he would have us in his mind and in his heart before the world was. Listen on. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. There in the 30 he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now this is what the operation of God is. Now understand, when he called Moses to come up under the mount, and he wrote that, my friend, and here was given unto him the laws. Can you imagine how Moses felt coming down, my friend, even the second time, carrying the laws of God? I believe, my friend, when he come down through there the second time, he hung on to them a little tighter. I think, my friend, that he understood how precious this was. Well, surely, listen to me. When he come down, they had to put a veil over his face. He had been with God for so long. And friend, here he comes carrying the very commandments of God. Made a difference in his life, did it not? And he was just carrying it out here. I tell you, my friend, in whom we read to you about already, we'll get to that. He's written his laws upon the tables of our heart. The front lids of our minds. What are you saying, preacher? I promise you, my friend, as much as the hand of God I wrote to Moses the Ten Commandments, I confirm to you, I know he's wrote in my heart and in my mind. Preacher, I just don't know about that. Oh, I tell you what, friend, if you don't, it would trouble me. Listen on. I need to stay with this scripture. Listen, he said, whose sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comer thereunto perfect. Though they were doing all the laws and the commandments, though they were sacrificing exactly the way that the God of heaven had instructed them, listen, they were still not perfect. There was still something lacking. They had a consciousness of that sin. It would be reminded and reckoned back up into their minds over and over. I see it many times in people's faces today. It's called regret. Because they're still conscious of their trespasses against God. Well, let me tell you something. Every soul that's in this house, we've all trespassed against God. We don't have any control over it. The wind of the world blew and we answered to it. You must understand, my friend, that none of us is without sin. We have been found guilty. He judged the whole world to be dead. And if my friend understand this, come to my mind, and I hope to dig into it. Listen to me very closely. Sin is what brings forth death. Some people will say, well, they got killed in a car wreck. Really? Sin brings forth death. I most assuredly tell you, well, he died with cancer. Sin brings forth death. Thank God for the day I realized my soul was dead. Let us run. Listen on. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. There was still something not lacking. That load of sin had never been removed. Oh, they went through the ceremony. They did what God said to do, but still there was a consciousness of their trespasses against God. So, for instance, the sacrifice had been laid, but the forgiveness wasn't there. Are you hearing me? The sacrifice had been performed, but the forgiveness wasn't there. Friend, understand this. I believe, sadly, that there are many people in the journeys of their days, they went through the ceremony, but the forgiveness has not settled into their heart. Are they forgiven? That's between them and God. But I can tell you this. If the power of God honors their life, they've been forgiven. If God honors their life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, I tell you, my friend, God will honor that that's His. But that that's not His is despised and rejected. And there's many times people go through the ceremonies of religious works and religious rhetorics, but the power of God, my friend, doesn't rest on their lives because they've never been forgiven. Now, who would have even began to deny that Saul of Tarsus was not a religious man? Well, nobody would have. They would have seen his life. They would have recognized his works. They would have looked at him as a very religious fellow. Where's the power of God at? Understand this, my friend. The power of God struck him down on the road to Damascus. The power of God, I believe, began to convict him when he seen Stephen stoned. And when he looked upon his accusers, my friend Stephen, and he said, God forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And he said, behold, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. Friend, understand, I believe it marveled his heart. How can a man die praying for those who's killing him? Paul knew all about the law. Saul knew all about the law. But my friend, the forgiveness was not there. Condemnation was still upon his heart. Do you know why many times people can't praise God? I thought about this yesterday. I passed a church and we looked over there at it. And I believe it was Debbie Ann, maybe Samantha, said, I wonder if they're having church yet. I said, you know, I don't know, but I hope they are. And as I drove on, I thought about what had come out of my mouth. Listen, I hope God gets worshiped in every house that gathers. Why? Because He's worthy. He deserves it. It's just not you and I that can worship God. I worship God with men that's from China. I worship God with men that used to be drunks. I promise you, I've sat with men, and my friend, in prisons, and they were very evil men, and we were able to worship God. God deserves to be worshiped. God sent His law that He might be worshipped. And when God sent His law and then people did every bit of it and they obeyed it and they were worshipers, they were servants of God, and my friend, in this world, but yet they still had a consciousness of their sins. I don't know about you, but that's a bad way to live. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He was a very wealthy man. He was coming back from Jerusalem where he had worshipped. And he was reading in the book of Isaiah. And and God sent Philip to him. And God told Philip to join himself to the chariot. And he was reading in Isaiah. And Philip said, understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man show me? He had performed all the services, but yet I still believe he had a guilt in his soul. How can I accept some man show me? Does the prophet say this of himself or somebody else? He took the scripture wherein he read and he preached to him, Jesus. Jesus. There's where I'd love to preach a while this morning. Listen on. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance made again of sins every year. Sins every year. So for instance, and for fact, if you'll have it, my friend, that when they brought the sacrifice, that they had picked out of their herd, that they had picked out of their flock, and it was the very best that they had. They stalled it, they washed it, they fed it, and my friend, they got it ready for sacrifice. They obeyed the law complete. They did everything according to the commandments of Moses, and they brought that lamb, and my friend, their sacrifice, and they went through the whole order of things, and they were going to have to do it again next year. And still, they had a guilty heart. Still, they were condemned inside. Because here come the next year, and they had to do the same thing again. And it didn't pay for their sins. All it did was put them off for a year. What does the Bible teach us? That if we, my friend, are having done all that we know to do, we're still to be measured as an unprofitable servant. But you know what our flesh likes to do? Stay with me very closely. Listen to me. Our flesh likes to pride ourselves on our religious works. Our carnal conscience likes to scotch our existence on the religious attributes that we permit or demand to exist in our days as we live.
and we, our flesh will try to find some security in that.
Listen to the word of God. He says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." The blood of a bull and the blood of a goat, my friend, that sense of life has no ability to have the consciousness of the trespass my soul has made against God. Are you with me? And God says it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats. Now, where did this blood come from? It came from a sacrifice that was given to God. Let you and I think about this. As much as the blood of bulls and of goats could not make them perfect, listen to me close. Our religious sacrifices that we make as we come to the house of God, as our days expire in the years that we live, our religious attributes, they will not make us perfect with God. Are you hearing me? Oh, these people making sacrifices right and left. They're letting go of this so that they can, so that the world can see them clinging to this. Listen to me very closely. Your religious sacrifices will never make you perfect. These people's religious sacrifices, even though it was according to the law, and my friend, and the law is just and the law is holy, my friend, it still could not make them perfect. They are people today who, my friend, will do everything they can to appear so religious and so righteous and so holy in everybody's conscience and everybody's mind, and they'll have sacrifices of duty, they'll have sacrifices of worship, but listen to me, those sacrifices cannot make us perfect. I need to hurry.
Listen on.
Oh, my goodness. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me." Oh, what God began to set in order when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Sister Mary. My, what a chain of events began to be revealed unto the world. Though they were finished before the foundation of the world, and my friend, when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, if you will, overshadowed Elizabeth. My friend, when the angel appeared unto Zechariah, John's daddy, in the temple, my friend, when all of these things began to happen, my goodness, what a chain of events was about to be revealed to the world. Here comes the path of perfection. Well, preacher, we can't be perfect.
Oh, this come to us two or three times. Bear with me, if you will. In the sixth chapter of this same book, the Bible says this. Now, this is the Bible. And it's in the sixth chapter of this same book we're in. And turn with me if you wish to read. But listen, he says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ." Wow. I just said, my friend, the very foundation of a man's eternal soul's existence. Listen to this. He says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." Not laying again, listen to this, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Not to go all the way back, listen to this. He said of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. Listen, and this we will do if God permit, if he'll lead you on, if you're leadable, if you will, if you're one of his. He says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." These people, many times, my friend, what they want to do is they want to, listen to me, hear me close, they want to just get saved again. That's not the way it works. Well, I just need to get confession again. That's not the way it works. My friend, you must have something pulling you forward for God. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God indeed. It is the goodness of God that leadeth me to repentance. Children, you cannot sacrifice to God for your sins. There's only been one sacrifice, and oh, my soul, could I magnify the sacrifice of the Son of God?
What a sacrifice!
Oh, my heavens above. Let me stay on course. My mind's getting ahead of my life. Listen on me. Listen a little further. He says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Thank God for the very life of Christ. Well, he was a son of God. He had a body just like you and I. Yes, he did. You and I, born again, we have a treasure in an earthen vessel. My friend, he was perfect from eternity past to eternity future. But yet, my friend, he lived in this tabernacle. And he, by the very power and desire and his love and the perfection of God in him, being God incarnate in the flesh, lived a perfect life. Now understand something. Understand this. Please understand this. You and I do not have the ability to be perfect in ourselves, in our flesh. You cannot be. Well, preacher, if I can't be perfect, then I'm bound for hell. My friend, God didn't save your flesh. He saved your soul. My friend, if you will, this outward man, he was conceived in sin, shaped in iniquity, not trying to be vile, but the seed of a man and the egg of a woman come together and made our flesh. Then the cells began to divide, and about 9 months later, you and I came forth to this world. But because of the seed of the man and the egg of the woman, this brought forth the life. The manifestation of that relationship finally come forth. Understand something. The seed is the Word of God. The mother is the church. And when that comes together, it produces a brand new life. He and they and we are called the children of God. Ooh, I love that. I didn't get here on my own. Neither did you. By the amazing grace of God. Ooh. That he had loved me enough. Yeah. That he had seeked me out. That he, my friend, would allow the seed of life to be sowed in my soul. And then, lo and behold, a manifestation to the world of the loving relationship of being between God and the church. Welcome to the kingdom of God. I need to hurry. Listen on. He says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hadst no pleasure. Wow. So if God didn't have pleasure in them, I understand that he was tolerant of their religious ways. I tell you what, I believe I live in a society where that God has been tremendously tolerant of people's religious ways. Tolerant. Long-suffering, amen on me. He's been long-suffering with me, Wayne. Tremendously long-suffering. He's not interested in my sacrifices. My whole life is to be sacrificed for him. Not little deeds I could do. Not little words I could say. But this body, this life, this existence, this completeness of the existence of my framing is to be presented to him as a living sacrifice. Oh, I need to hurry. My heavens, I'm glad he can open up the Word of God. He says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Wow. Now, in just a few minutes ago, we were talking to you how that the very body of Christ, my friend, came into the world because the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And my friend, there was a manifestation of that experience that she had. And it was born by the very body of Christ. But now, the Bible, and saying with this thing, he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Jesus, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Jesus. What did John write? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus. God spoke this world into existence. Well, when somebody speaks, what comes out? Words. Words. Colossians teaches us that there was not anything made without him. So whatever is in this world, I don't care what color, I don't care what size, what height, what depth.
And my friend, whether it's good or bad, I tell you, God created it.
I had a family member one time tell me, get behind me, Satan, I don't care if I'm recording this. I don't come to please men, whether that's right now or when they hear this later on. I've had family members tell me, don't tell me God made cancer neither. I don't have to tell you. It's in the book. Yes, God did. Preacher, that's just too hard. Well, let me tell you something, friend. Peradventure, when some have got the big C word, they finally got their heart right with God. Peradventure. Now, some may have just went through the motions and never really got saved. I don't know. But one thing the C word will do for a many worldly man, it'll cause him to think about eternity. So let me tell you something. God did create cancer. And it doesn't matter to me whether people believe it or not. It ain't going to change it. They never read the Bible. And the Bible better have the ultimate authority of the say-so of our lives. In Colossians, you can read it. That without him, there was not anything made. He said, by him do all things exist. He made it all. Yes, he made war too. Yes, he did. Yesterday was a celebrated day, D-Day. It came and went and nobody ever realized it. The virus around the world and pandemics sequestered the beaches of Omaha. Very few people were there to honor it. Let me tell you something. It holds a special place in my life. I thank God that I live in a land where I'm free to worship. When they weren't just hundreds, but they were thousands of men who give their lives freely over and over. I think yesterday also was a day. His name wasn't Henry, and I can't recall it, but he was hung as a British spy. The British hung him for a spy. And his words were this, maybe this will call it to your memory. The only regret I have is I only have one life to give for my country. And they hung him. I want to say his last name started with an H, and I'm not exactly sure, but understand something. They've been lots and thousands and hundreds, and we may exalt them and hold them high, and I do. But let me tell you something, friend. If they never had an experience with Christ, they're in the regions of the damned. They're in the regions of the damned. By the efforts of so many, by the help and aid and power and deliverance of God, the gospel's been preserved. Your life has been watched over. You were born into a free country. You didn't choose this. You didn't choose to be an American. By the grace of God, you are. You didn't even choose to be born in North Carolina. By the grace of God, you were. All of this put together, sitting where you are, hearing what you're hearing, by the grace of God. You talk about God creating a great thing. Let me get on. I got to get to the power. Lord, help me. He says, and above when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Now, God is saying here in his word that they were doing every bit of this according to the law, but yet it was not pleasurable to God. I see his long-suffering and his mercifulness. Understand this clearly. God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And he'll have judgment on whom he will have judgment. And you and I, my friend, are to be in our place that we might glorify God for it all. Preacher, that's just too hard. I just couldn't wrap around my mind around that. Understand this, my friend. He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Please know. He said when he upbraided Terah and said that if the works that was done in you had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. These are the words of Jesus. Well, what are you saying, preacher? He's saying he decided not to do those works in Sodom and Gomorrah just to kill them. Preacher, that's just too hard. It's the book, friend. It's what God has set in order. It ought to magnify his mercies to us. Listen on. He said, then said he in the ninth verse, lo, I come to do thy will, O God.
He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Oh, could I preach there for 100 years?
He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Are there any shadow of a doubt in anybody's heart, mind, soul, body, existing creature in the house this morning that Jesus, my friend, did he or did he not complete the will of God? Amen, he did. From the cradle to the cross to the grave and up again, Jesus done it all perfectly. He did away with the first that he may establish the second. Did he raise from the dead? Did he not do away with the first that he may establish the second? Now the greatest question of all. Did he do away with your first that he may establish your second? Woo! Did he? Has this happened in your life? Did he take away the first that he may establish the second? Did he? Did he? Many people just went through the religious service. They just went through the ceremony. God is asking us, did he do away with your first that he may establish the second? I tell you what my first was. My first was full of sin because of the magnification of the law against my life. I was a transgressor. I was a murderer. I was a covetous person. I was a liar. I was a stealer. I was an adulterer, a fornicator. I was every one of them things. But you shouldn't say that about sin. And you weren't? Oh, yes, you were. Every last one of us. Because, my friend, there is no such thing as a white lie. It's called a bold-faced lie. It's called a transgression. And understand this, dear friend, the only way for that to ever no longer be on your conscience, my friend, for you to no longer have that weighing over your head, Jesus must take away the first that he may establish the second. Goodness, that'll preach forever. How does he do it? Listen on. Oh, my goodness. He said, by the which will we are sanctified. Now, are you sanctified by the law or are you sanctified by Christ? By the which will. Now, what was the will? What was the will of God in the law? Now, it's saying, by the which will. So, if you will, here's two wills. By the which will are we sanctified? Did the law sanctify me? No way. The law condemned me. By the which will sanctified. What sanctified me? Approved and ready for the use of God. Sanctified. Means acceptable unto God. My friend, the tabernacle, the tent of the congregation, the altar, the sacrifice, all of this was sanctified by the blood of those sacrifices. Dear friend, when he took away the first to establish the second, he has sanctified our souls, made us acceptable in the beloved. Listen on. He says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. My goodness. Do you remember when Solomon dedicated the tabernacle, the temple? What were they? 200,000 books? Can you imagine the blood? Can you imagine the blood of even 10,000 oxen? Can you imagine it? Can our minds wrap around the wood that it would take to offer up these sacrifices? Can you imagine the smell? And all of this was done to dedicate a natural tabernacle. And now, there's been one sacrifice made. One. And it covers all my sin. Covers all your sin, Wayne. Rip you free. All over the house. By the blood of the Lamb, Sister Lisa, we're free. I get to thinking about what a miserable creature I am. And I ain't trying to be emotional, but I'm serious. I'm as clean, I'm as pure in the eyes of God as His Son. Why? Because His blood is on my soul. He don't see me. He sees the blood of His darling Son, whom God slew for me. He took away the first that He may establish the second. How in the world could I preach about the liberty of your love, God, unless it's real in your heart? How in the world could I tell somebody about it unless it's real in your heart? How in the world could I demand that it dictates the very steps in which my life lives because it's in my heart? Why? Because your heart is greater than all of you. From your head to your feet, to the extremities of each hand, your heart is bigger than you. You will do what your heart dictates, and you cannot keep from it. What are you talking about? You see, you never had to teach me the old outward man. You never had to teach me how to lie, cheat, steal. Would have never had to taught me to do any of that. But understand this too. Being born again, understand something. You don't have to be taught how to love. You don't have to be taught how to love the Bible. You don't have to be taught how to love the people of God. You don't have to be taught on how to love the house of God. The liberty of His Spirit that says, you don't have to be taught that. It's just in you to do so. That baby right there gets upset and it gets to crying. Karen and Daryl may love it to death, but they cannot cuddle that child like Mama can.
Right, it's true.
Can't happen. Why? Because they're not its mother. Let me tell you something, my friend. A child of God runs to the house of God. I seen a young lady one time, she was just eat up with the turmoils of life. And it was consuming her completely. No, I'm not going to mention her name and stop trying to struggle who it is. It doesn't matter. Listen. She was consumed of herself. And there was some words God said to her when she was in the midst of this tornado. Decisions, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I want that, and I need. Listen, stop. What's wrong with you? When children of God have troubles, they run to the house of God. They don't run to the world. Those words stop that person in their tracks. And they realize, wow, that's so true. Understand this, please. My friend, it must be God that takes away the first, that God may establish the second. You'll never get it done. Anything up to that is going to be a religious work. It's going to be a sacrifice. I can tell you from my own life, I remember sitting under the Word of God and it would find me. And He'd preach and He'd plow me up, turn me upside down. And you know what? The first thing, I'd start sacrificing things in my mind. I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, but I am going to do this, and I am going to do this. You know what I'm doing? I'm stalling up the calf of sacrifice in my consciousness. And I'm going to feed it with the attributes of goodwill and the best intentions, and the next thing you know, I'm going to try to sacrifice. I'll go to the stall again, and it'll be laying there dead. It takes God to do away with the first, that He may establish the second. Now the law was sent to kill me, and kill me it did. And Jesus, by His blood, was sent to resurrect me, and resurrect me He did. God and the marvelous power of the blood of the Lamb that set you free? Or was it a religious ceremony? Was it just something that you went through the motions because everybody else was doing and it was about that time? And I can tell you this. Throughout the 30s, especially the late 30s, in the 1900s, in the late 30s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, tremendous in the 80s and the 90s and worse now, humanism has polluted the houses of worship. Somebody will come down the altar and they'll start trying to pray. And so some so-called man of God will get up there and they'll whisper in their ear, "You don't want to go to hell, do you, son?" Who's going to raise up and say, "Well, yeah, I do. I want to go there." Nobody is. "No, I don't want to go." Tell God you're sorry for your sins. What's he doing there in the first place? But they'll ask him certain questions. And if they know where to say uh-huh or nod their head at, in a few minutes they're going to get patted on the back and say, "Get up, son, you're saved." And God's not done anything to their heart. And they're twofold a child for hell. Why? Because the devil just put a great big arrow in his quiver. Now you went to the altar. You prayed. Did you understand the Bible when it said there will be many in that day come and say, "Lord, Lord, we done many wonderful works in your name. Why, when did we see you hungry and we didn't feed you? When did we see you in prison and didn't visit you? When did we see you naked and didn't clothe you? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Now, by the words of God, there are some people that are feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the imprisoned, and it is a work of iniquity. That's the word of God. Why? Because they are trying to do away with the first that they may establish the second. And they've never yielded themselves to the operation of the Holy Ghost of heaven. A dead man can't do anything for himself. He must yield completely to God. "God, here I am. Whatever you want to do with me, it doesn't make any difference. But I want to recognize you as God. I'll yield my whole life to you. All my days, I love you. God, may my life reflect that I love you. Lord, help my soul that it magnifies you to where that anybody around me knows that I love you. I don't have to go around with a sign on my chest, I love Jesus. I don't have to go around with bells and whistles saying that I'm the Lord's servant. I don't have to prove that to anybody. What I'm supposed to do is live the life that he has saved me to live. Why? Because he took away the first that he may establish the second. He's the one who set it in order. Why? By the matchless, wondrous, gracious, almighty, enduring power of the blood of the Lamb. Oh, at the sacrifices that was wrong. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands and even into the millions, and could never make anybody perfect. God sent his son. He completely fulfilled the law. Perfect. Not deserving of death in any fashion, but for us who had broken the law, he died. For us that were transgressors against God and alienated from him for eternity, he died for us. God slew him for my sins and yours. He fulfilled the law of God. "It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Lo, I come in the volume of the book." Friend, he did it all. Mani, mani, tekel, Euphrates. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. That was you and I. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That was what he cried out on the cross of Calvary. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God had turned his back on his son. But you know what his son still said? My God! I don't know about you, but that gets a hold of me. Though the Father whom he came to please, and he pleased him indeed, he turned his back on him on the cross, and he still cried and called him, my God! In his darkest hour, forsaken of all, still recognizing God. What a life to fashion a life after. I'd like to go around the room and call every man's name that's in the house. Don't you dare pattern your life after Mike Freeman. Don't you dare. But if God would let you see God in me, pattern that. And the God that I see in you, I want to pattern that. Though I may love you individually and hold you high in my life and even enjoy speaking and spending time with you, there should never be nobody any higher in our life ever whatsoever than Jesus Christ because of who he is and what he is. He is our propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. He became sin for us who had known no sin. I need to hurry. Bear with me, please. The Bible says, and every high priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. He says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Oh, listen on. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. What's he saying? Because of what Jesus done at Calvary, my soul is forever perfected. Those of you that are saved and born again, your soul is forever perfected. That's why I said, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of faith and of dead works toward God. Not even of doctrine, of baptisms, and of laying on, all of those, but to go on unto perfection. He says in another place that he has given us a lively hope. You'll find that in Peter, very close to where we were reading a while ago, if I didn't get down to it. A lively hope. What happens to something that's alive? What happens to something that is alive? It grows. It grows. If it don't grow, then it's dead. I guarantee you that if any one of us raising children in this world, and we fed it three times a day, it slept all night, it was very easy to take care of, but it never grew, we would be going to the doctor and saying, doctor, there's something wrong with my baby. Well, he looks fine. He sounds fine. I don't find anything wrong. He's not growing! We would be terrified. But the doctor says, well, he's fine. He's alive. He's eating. He's sleeping. He's not growing. Listen to me, doctor. He's not growing. It's amazing. These people that frequent the house of God, they say they eat the word of God, but they never grow. Let me tell you something. If something's alive, it's got to grow. And when it grows, it's going to get bigger. And bigger and bigger. And after a while, it's going to have some seed and some fruit on it. And my friend, that's bearing forth testimony that it is fully alive. But there's some people, you never see evidence of that growth. Understand, I know this. A Leyland cypress, it'll grow, I think, 18 to 24 inches a year. Something like that. Some of you got people planting a lot. It's a very fast growing tree. Oak don't do that. Sometimes an oak, it don't hardly grow, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 inches a year. Other years it may grow a whole lot, but they don't grow very fast. So in some people's lives, they may grow like a wildfire. And then there's other people that grow slow. But listen to me, there is growth. There's growth. And after a while, my friend, this lively hope, if a hope is alive, what's going to happen? It's going to get more and more alive. Well, what is that hope about? That hope is not in this world, but in another world. So we get fonder and fonder of where we're going instead of where we're at. But it's amazing how many people love this world. They refuse to forsake it. They refuse to turn their back upon it. But amazingly, they'll walk away from God. And they're in their mind now, they're going to get back. And they're going to do right. And listen to me. Unless it's God that takes away the first, and unless it's God that establishes the second, it'll never be done. How do you know? I've lived it. Not just words, I promise you. But I tell you what, a life surrendered to God, He will complete it. There's a great message in what Jesus last said upon the cross. We tried to preach about it just the other day. It is finished. Unless you're finished in Christ, my friend, you're not finished at all. Your life still is trying to be lived to yourself, but listen long to the Word of God, and I'll do my best to hurry and close. He says, "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. Listen, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." I tell you what, my friend, when you see the Word of God, you know the Word of God. How long does it take you, stay with me, how long does it take you picking up a random Bible, even in a bookstore, open it up and begin to read? How long will you read before you realize this is just a Bible cover, but it's not the Word of God. It's not a King James. It's not that. It's some other perverted version. This is not the Word of God. Amen. It won't take you long. It may look like a Bible. It may even be found in the Bible section of the store. But you open it up, next thing you know, it's full of the opinions of man. It's not the Bible. It's not the inspired Word of God. It's a book that looks like a Bible, but man's hands have been about it and changed it. And it's not a Bible at all. Preacher, I just don't see it like it. It don't make no difference. I love you. It's okay. There's lots of people wrap their lives in a Christian cover, but they're not a Christian on the inside. Listen on. He says, this is the covenant. Now, this is God. This is not the word. This is the covenant that I will make with him after those days. That's a message too. Saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts. Remember a few minutes ago when we were, you will do where and what your heart is. The Bible, the eternal Word of God, teaches us this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You will do what's in your heart. You can't keep yourself from it. And I tell you what, my friend, this is Jesus saying, I will write. This is God saying, I will put my laws in their heart. And the only way they could put their sins off for a year was to perfectly obey the law. The laws that God puts into our heart, it will dictate our lives. It will constrain us. It will refrain us. It will move us. It will change us. Listen on. Do you not think that those people changed after the law of God coming into their midst? Why? Because there was then an accountability. The Bible says where there is no law, there is no sin. That's what the book says. So knowing this, my friend, that God has put His laws into our hearts. Listen to this. He said, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. In their minds. Now, what is your mind? It's where Jesus is going to be writing. What is your mind? It's more than the gray matter that's between your ears and behind your eyes. Your mind is the way you think. Your mind, if you will, is a mathematical, algebraic formula wherein you use to come to the sum of the matter. Does it make sense? It is the letters of your alphabet that you use to form words. It is the numbers in which you calculate the existence of life. Your mind is the way you operate. Your mind is what is the very basis and foundation of the word character. Who you are when nobody's watching. What are you really thinking? What are you really got down in your heart? And this is where Jesus said he's going to write his laws and his commandments. Oh, listen on. This 17th verse, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That ought to make every child of God in the world to shout. Though we're reminded of them by the devil. Though, my friend, our flesh may try to bring them up against the accounts of our souls continually. God said, the Lord himself said, I'll not remember them no more. Thank God. What sins are you talking about? Do you know what it's like? Are you familiar with destruction and creation? Where that God took away the first, that he may establish the second. There's only one force that's able to do this. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Those poor people in Jerusalem did not know what they were saying. Give us Barabbas! Let his blood be on us and our children! That's what they cried. They did not know what they were saying. I tell you what, there's many of them right now, would to God his blood was on them. As a way of remission. God help our hearts that we know that it was him that took away my first, that he may establish the second. Let's rest in our seats.